This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Foot Clan, before we start today's show, I wanted to remind you about the 2022 Ultimate Draft Kit. How ultimate is it, Jason?
So ultimate.
Tier-based rankings, premium stat projections, 100-plus player profile videos. We've upgraded the app. We've upgraded the cheat sheet creator. You can custom mark players. You can import leagues from now Sleeper, ESPN, and Yahoo.
Turn ADP or age on off on your cheat sheets. All sorts of goodies.
Yeah, sleepers, breakouts, bust values. Definitely check it out. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, July 14th. The Fantasy Footballers back with you. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. The Deucers are here. We have Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, Kyle the Borgogin, and it's a full house. Full house in the middle of an Arizona afternoon in our studio. Just a
it's not recommended.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little toasty.
Six dudes in a room in the height of the heat.
113 degrees outside, 112 degrees inside.
Yeah, I mean, we have all the AC blasts, and so it's down to 112, 111. NFC West breakdown on today's show. That's going to be the focus. We've been doing the divisional breakdowns, recapping some of the offseason, pointing your attention to the most relevant stories for each of these teams and where they're headed, players that might have seasons to remember and seasons to forget. So going to be breaking down the good old NFC West today. And for the first time ever, you know, in a long time, actually, talking about the NFC West and not talking about Russell Wilson.
Hey-oh.
So that's going to be different.
That's so nice. That is so nice. I mean, it's just he's the worst.
Really?
Oh,
You don't like Russ?
No, he's very limited.
Unlimited.
I've heard he's unlimited.
No, he posted.
From him.
He posted a big video. Did you see that?
Yeah, no more.
He's working out.
Something about the doubt.
Yeah, he doesn't like the doubt, and he loves to work. Now he's working. I mean, I assume he was working before, right? Brooks, do you know if he was working before?
I hope so.
He's only working as hard as Pete Carroll would let him.
Seahawks averaged 10.4 wins per year with Russell Wilson since his arrival. So yeah. If you want to say you like something, whether he's the worst or not, he was the best.
Oh, he's great at football.
For that team.
He's great at football. I think he's going to be great for fantasy this year. I have a lot of shares of him on my underdog leagues.
Yeah, he's in the Ultimate Draft Kit as one of our values, I believe, right now.
Yeah, I like him.
But, like, you don't like Russell Wilson, though, right? Like,
he's a weird guy.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
Unlimited.
I
think you're trying to. I think you're trying to turn the page.
I'm trying to because I'm very excited for him on the Broncos. Yeah. And what's going to happen with everybody on the Broncos. But I got to meet this guy.
Who do you
guy.
Like more, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, I just bagged on the dude, but...
I mean, like...
Who would you rather have dinner with?
Because I get that Rodgers is viewed as...
Aaron Rodgers.
He's a bit of a curmudgeon, and it's like, I get it. Sometimes you want to be a curmudgeon, and you just don't want to put up with people's crap anymore.
You're familiar with curmudgeon?
Yeah, I know. I think me and Rodgers will get along just fine.
So a dinner with Rodgers?
Yeah.
You'd sit at dinner and you'd both eat
Nobody talks.
Silence. Just nobody talking.
It would be silence, or it would just be really deep philosophical things about things that probably shouldn't be examined
slash
like that.
Taking turns complaining about the service.
Yeah, what? But not like Al. It would be.
He would be the face. The face he makes when he throws an interception, but it's the receiver's fault.
Every take a bite. There's we just lock eyes.
There's a chance he orders something and it's his own choice, but he's really mad that
the
chef waiter that the waiter didn't suggest something different.
Oh,
that's what Rodgers would do. Why didn't you recommend something I would like more?
He seems very much like what's the special today? Oh, well, it's the lobster with the roasted garlic potatoes, and lets the waiter go on and on and on. I'll have the steak.
That's true. Yeah, and then just, Russ.
But every time, you got to make sure you know what the special is and then not order it.
Yeah, and Russ eats with his mouth open. So Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to follow the show. You can follow Jason at JasonFFL, Mike at FF Hitman. You can follow me at Andy Holloway. And we're on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. You can watch the show over there. Nothing really by way of news today. So one minor, tiny piece of news. I guess it's not a signing,
I
can't hit the button.
Real shame, because this is like perfect for the mediocre signing of the week, but it's a mediocre trade of the week.
Do it anyways.
Mediocre signing of the week.
The Patriots traded former first round wide receiver N'Keal Harry to the Bears
for a 2024 seventh. They wanted to insult N'Keal Harry as much as possible. Like
That pick comes up, they'll be like, "How do we get this again?"
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure the Bears offered the 2023. They're like, "No, push it back."
So the only reason it's really worth mentioning is because the Bears' wide receiver room is so incredibly depleted that, I mean, could N'Keal Harry start beside Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, he's the second best wide receiver on this team. With Byron Pringle, okay. I mean, Velus Jones, we don't know. The Bears clearly liked him as they took him with a day two pick. We do have a fun fact here that, though, that's N'Keal Harry, younger than Velus Jones.
Wow.
No. Wait a minute. Is that true?
That's from the Borgogan, so I take that as gospel.
That's awesome. That is so great.
Are always so funny when they come up. You know, somebody is a four-year player and then someone leaves early and they've been in the league for, I mean, it feels like N'Keal Harry's been failing for how many years?
I mean,
three
yeah, at least. What I like, though, is it was worded N'Keal Harry still younger, as if there was a chance or an option that he could
pass him,
have surpassed him.
Yeah.
I am ashamed to admit this out loud, but I constantly live in my shame, so
it's
that's
a safe
fine
space.
But I picked up N'Keal Harry off of a dynasty waiver this morning. So, not a league you're in. So you're okay. But okay. I mean, check the waivers if you need.
He got picked up in our main dyna league.
I'm surprised
and I don't
he's not
people
being held in most of them because of the, you know, he's probably the rookie 101 in a lot of drafts.
Yes, he was.
So those people probably just held on for dear life, not letting him go. I don't think he's going to matter for fantasy. This doesn't change my opinion of Darnell Mooney. This doesn't change my opinion on Cole Kmet having massive involvement in the offense.
It doesn't even change my opinion on Justin Fields. I don't think this is a needle mover.
I think that adding Harry to this roster is worth at least 2 to 3 passing touchdowns.
I would take the under.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But maybe. Maybe. We can hope that N'Keal can turn a page. And look, he was super talented coming into the NFL. Highly regarded, didn't work out at all in New England. Sometimes you wonder what that means because,
yeah,
you know,
it could be a him and the Patriots thing.
Yeah, some just don't. Bill Belichick, certain players, it doesn't work out. But that's the only news I got for you, unless something else is breaking right now.
No, that's Brooksy. Good stuff.
Let's go west.
Let's do it.
Let's get divisional.
I thought you were going to hit us with a go west, young man.
Wow.
Michael W. Smith reference. And I was going to say, what are you doing?
Obviously, that's the first thing I thought of, Mike, but I wasn't willing to go to that.
Oh, I am.
That far away of a reference. People are Googling as we speak. NFC West breakdown, Rams, Cardinals, 49ers, Seahawks, talking about them today. Looking at the offenses, what they did last year, how they could function this year, some of our takeaways, players to pay attention to. And if you want to dig deeper, you can jump into the UDK. There are consistency charts in there, market share charts, team opportunity, and the Dynasty Pass. You can check that out. But the Rams, let's begin there. Things kind of worked out for the Rams last year. 12-5, had a projected win total before the year of 10. Surpassed that, obviously. And then heading into 2022, 10.5 is the line for the Rams, defending Super Bowl champions. So this was a really good offense, a steady offense with Matthew Stafford behind center. 7th in points per game. Dead middle here, 15th in pace of play. You know, one of the storylines that jumps out at the top to me is just how, you know, deficient they were in running back weapons last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make a midseason pivot to Sonny Michel, which kind of worked out. Daryl Henderson wasn't bad when he played.
He just gets hurt all the time.
But he gets hurt all the time. And then you obviously had the return of Cam Akers at the very, 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 very end of the year, which, look, it wasn't much of a return. It was kind of a wave while he was running for one or two a carry. But heading into the new year, you know, the team looks a little different. Allen Robinson, wide receiver, free agent addition. Goodbye, Robert Woods. Right now it's goodbye, Odell Beckham Jr. Sonny Michel's gone. Where are your expectations? Where are your storylines here with the Rams?
I think the main storyline to dive into first is Cam Akers and what you believe there, because I think that we've seen the McVay system. He's always going to figure it out. He's always going to have a top offense, but I think he prefers when he can have a strong running game. He prefers when he had Todd Gurley and can run. They tried to do this even in the playoffs. I mean, he had 32% of the team's rush attempts plus team targets. 30 is elite, and that's while he sucked. I mean,
right.
He was very, very bad. They want Cam Akers to be the dude, and I want him to. I loved him coming out. I think we all were very, very – everyone was high on Cam Akers. Unfortunately, he had the Achilles heel of running back injuries. Ironically, it was the Achilles. But
is that ironic, or is it just like really well named?
That's fair. That's fair. This is really well named because – no, we don't have any successful stories of running backs coming back to high fantasy relevance after an Achilles injury ever. Right? We don't have one? Do we have one?
No, I mean, not really.
To high level. We have not seen an elite running back return yet.
Yeah, I think of it in terms of like a full season, like really putting up a nice stat line over the course of a year. We've seen burst games from players. Deontay Foreman had them.
Sure.
You know, what kind of blew my mind was that Cam Akers wasn't just back. He was back as the RB1. He was back with high utilization and high involvement in this offense. And so there was this, I don't know, surprise by everybody that they would go to him so often. They had other options. It's not like they couldn't have spared him a little bit. So you go into the year and you say, hey, Cam Akers is going to get 15 touches a game on a great offense. What does it mean?
And he's
what's
year,
it going to translate to?
And he's a year removed from the Achilles injury. So you have to call your shot on whether you believe that he is fully recovered. And he is. I think the nice thing about this is he was so young. Obviously, his return in about 6 months was unprecedented. He didn't look great. But the fact that he was so young, seems to be recovered, has that timeline, and we have the confidence that they are going to really, really, really try to make him the guy. He's got the opportunity that sometimes you just don't get after an Achilles injury.
So are we staring down? And I'm sorry, Jason. Do you want to finish that thought?
Well, my conclusion is basically that I think it's worth taking a shot on Cam Akers because the team is going to give him the opportunity. It's just a matter of, does an Achilles injury mean that a running back can never get back to physical form again? And at his age, I don't believe that.
At his age, I think he could get back. Is this going to be the running back version of the Stafford Cup doubt that people had in the offseason last year? Where it, you know, we talked about it being that obvious thing that it should have been obvious but wasn't obvious. Is Cam Akers going to be that? I mean, to me, the team is done with any sort of primary role for Daryl Henderson.
Yeah.
That's not going to be part of their future. Now, he may get, you know, reps, but is this a more obvious thing, or is it fair to have this injury doubt?
I think having the injury doubt is completely fair, but I agree with Jason. Your opinion of Cam Akers, like, it doesn't really matter. It matters what Sean McVay wants, and at least through the playoffs, Sean McVay said that Cam Akers is our guy. He's going to be our workhorse running back, and he will continue to be that heading into next season. So at the running back 16 where he's being drafted, he seems like a guy that, to me, in the range of outcomes is not – he doesn't, you know, show up as the running back 13, running back 14. He either crushes his ADP or he re-aggravates and just he is so incredibly inefficient with the volume that he doesn't even hit the running back 16.
And we may need to do a show, Brooksy, specifically about players in that category, because you're right. Cam Akers isn't what – he will not finish where he's being drafted, I don't think. I think he will be a disaster
or
a huge value.
I agree.
Maybe not as big as the value Cooper Kupp was last year, but
yeah, I mean, I made my speech for the pro Cam Akers, but when you look at who he's being drafted around, and there is this giant question mark, we just covered the NFC East. Zeke was a talking point on that episode. He's going one running back spot ahead of Akers, and James Conner one running back spot behind. I would take either one of those guys over Cam Akers.
I would too,
because they don't have quite that same gigantic question mark.
Matthew Stafford finishes the quarterback 5 last year, which is, you know, kind of feels like Zeke did.
Where so
Zeke
bizarre.
Ended up at what, running back 6, and so there was consistency. I mean, he was out there for every single game. It was funny. I just rewatched that. You remember the injury he suffered as a rookie in Detroit?
Oh, and then he came back
and
in
then
the
he
game.
Came back in and threw the touchdown because the Browns were dumb enough to call a timeout and let him back in the game.
Yeah.
But it just reminded me, like, Stafford is an Iron Man. Like, he plays through as much as he can. Last year, almost 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns, 17 picks. Some of the interceptions definitely cost him, but overall, it worked out. I mean, this was a player that, you know, was very consistent. He's being drafted as the quarterback 12 right now. Is that too low?
No. I would say...
is that too high?
I would say it's too high. Obviously, last year was great. He finishes the quarterback 5, but if you look at how that came about, he was pretty inconsistent. He had plenty of weeks where he was, you know, half of his weeks wasn't a top 12 option. The reason he finished top 5 was because in those down weeks where he really did not help you for fantasy, he didn't just like collapse and give you nothing. You know, he would go out there and give you 16 points, 14.3 points, and, you know, looking at his game log, it's like, okay, well, he's not crushing you and killing you, but he's not giving you a win. And to me, I think that, you know, this was as good as it could possibly get. I don't think anyone would project Cooper Kupp to repeat what he did last year.
Do you like Rodgers or Stafford more this year? Rodgers without Devontae Adams?
I have Stafford one spot ahead of Rodgers.
One spot
right
higher.
Now.
Yeah, because last year he did have 10 top 12 performances, which was the same as Aaron Rodgers, your dinner date, Mike.
Yes.
I'd love to have dinner with Stafford, though.
Yeah. Would
you? Oh, heck yeah.
Really? I don't know what Stafford's
like. I've seen him
like.
Chug a beer.
So that's
that's the line for a good
that
dinner.
Just, that just means need? He's going to be there to have a good time. We're gonna go out. We're gonna have a great dinner. It's staff. Reach out.
Okay.
Reach out
at Applebee's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's our neighborhood grill. You know.
Allen Robinson joins the passing attack. That was number 2 in passing touchdowns. Number 5 in passing yards. Number 1 in expected points added per pass attempt. This was a good passing offense.
Yes.
So Allen Robinson, you know, there is a stink upon that man's name in the fantasy football community.
Deserved. I mean.
Deserved, but also acquired in part maybe by Matt Nagy, right? I mean.
Sure.
Like, where does the stink begin? Nobody knows the source of the stink when Nagy's in the same building.
I agree, and that's part of the huge question for him, but. that like that didn't stop, you know, the switch over to Justin Fields and just everything that was terrible about the Chicago Bears, that didn't stop Darnell Mooney from getting 1,000 yards last year and having some productive fantasy weeks. Meanwhile, Allen Robinson, who should have been rock solid, was absolutely atrocious.
He did particularly torture Mike Wright.
Yes, and I still can't figure out where I am on Allen Robinson being drafted as a top 24 wide receiver.
That might be too high.
The hard part is this offense is going to be so good. While you were talking about Stafford, Jay, I get it. He was very hot or cold for fantasy last year. That's his first year with McVay. Like, Stafford is a good quarterback. They're in the range of outcomes is Matthew Stafford has this system just locked in this year, and he is even better and throws, you know, in the mid-40s of touchdowns. The yardage goes up. You hit on those deep plays a little bit more.
You would expect in year two for him to not throw 17 touchdowns as well. So there
are interceptions.
Sorry. There is,
don't expect him to throw 17 touchdowns either.
There is room for Stafford to get better. And whenever you've got Cooper Kupp in tow, it's a good situation. With regards to Allen Robinson, though, I mean,
we're all lower on him.
Yes, all lower
compared to average draft position.
Yes, we have him as our wide receiver 34, 46, and 52. So we kind of are OUT on Allen Robinson, who is being drafted much, much higher in the fifth round as, I think, wide receiver 23.
Do you want Adam Thielen or Allen Robinson? Because they feel very similar.
I'll take Thielen.
They do feel similar. I'll take Thielen because of the scars and the burns that I have from Allen Robinson.
Okay,
he started 12 games. He played 12 games last year. His high score was 8 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Last year, you need to make it not exist if you want to be in on Allen Robinson.
Yep.
Because you don't know where the crash began in Chicago. It was everyone got in on it. Except for Mooney, maybe.
Yeah.
It's tough because Robinson, I think one of the question marks is, do they bring back Odell Beckham? Is Van Jefferson going to be involved?
I'm not worried. Beckham, with the injury that late, like in all the talk, is he won't be ready till November.
Yeah, but it's still something to be considered. I think if Allen Robinson can be anywhere from 2 to 4 on the actual pecking order of the wide receiver room, that'd be a problem to me. Like Adam Thielen is not going to be the fourth best wide receiver in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So yeah. I'm saying, like, I would definitely feel more confident in Thielen. I think Thielen's shown that he still has it at his older age, where Robinson's going to be, what, 29 when the season begins? So,
and you
or
do,
close to it.
You do have Van Jefferson here as a nice pivot. If you are anti Allen Robinson, and we could be wrong there, Allen Robinson could easily come out, have a great resurgent year. But if he is the Allen Robinson we saw last year, then Van Jefferson has a real opportunity here to be the number two in this offense, which, you know, he's familiar with. And I think where he's going right now, if you're in best ball drafts, he's one of my favorite late round targets. I mean, for a redraft league, you probably aren't going to draft him at all, but he's a name to consider.
And I'll throw this out there. This is the first time Stafford's has 40 touchdowns in a really, really long time. It's more likely than not that number comes down. If the running game is better, he may be a better NFL quarterback, more efficient, and a worse fantasy quarterback. And those two can coexist very easily. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get into the hometown Cardinals.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. I do want to ask Al Borland a question. Is that okay?
Sure.
He's our resident Packer fan. Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? Who are you going to dinner with?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All right. I know that. I know that you've not been the biggest fan of Rodgers, the man.
That is correct.
As curmudgeon-y as he is, I think he would be fun at dinner. I don't mind going to dinner. Whereas Russell Wilson would be weird, man. What would he even order?
Ooh.
I don't know. What? He'd probably hit a buffet.
He'd get the black
limited, yeah,
the black bean burger. Type of thing.
Oh, is that what he would go
yeah.
with?
Yeah.
What is Rodgers is getting the steak after he asked for all the recommendations?
Maybe. I don't.
Unless they recommend steak.
Okay. The contrarian. Mm-hmm. Play?
Then it's a burger.
Hmm. Okay.
Depends if he's on his cleanse at the time.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah. Which that's all new to me. I missed that. That he was really into the pretty extreme cleanses.
Yeah. From both sides.
Yeah. Very extreme. Look it up.
Or don't. The Cardinals, 11-6 last year. The way the season ended,
were 11-6.
That's where I'm going. I scrolled down to
really?
We have these in order of like finish, and I hit 11-6, and I go, they were the second in the division. It started great. What was it, 7-0, right?
7-0.
And then we decided to show up to a game.
44 seconds and an A.J. Green turning around from 8-0.
Yeah, and the preseason win total last year was 8. They hit 11, so they outperformed that. 3-4 in one score game, so it wasn't like they were just getting there with those anomalous one score wins. They went 8-1 on the road. That was shocking. They had trouble at home last year. The projected win total this year, 8.5. So higher than it was last year, but obviously lower than where they finished last year. Does this help you? The last two Super Bowl champions hosted the Super Bowl, and Arizona is hosting it this year.
Do you think, baby!
Oh, if these trends continue,
I think we're here to break the trend.
Yeah, I think we can buck this trend pretty easily.
Let's buck it. 11th in points per game, 8th in total yards, 12th in pace of play. You know, it's going to be some guesswork again with Arizona at the beginning of the year when it comes to finding the fantasy stars on this team outside of their quarterback, because DeAndre Hopkins suspended for 6 games to start the season. And Chase Edmonds has departed. And those were two pretty big pieces of the offense. They made the trade for Hollywood Brown. You got that drop? You got that for me?
We updated that, right?
Did we? Did we get the new one?
We'll find out. Yes, we did. Hey.
So
look at us.
Christian Kirk out the door as well. You know, it was a tale of two halves for Arizona. They ended in a putrid fashion. All the offseason narrative around Kyler Murray that has kind of faded away and still doesn't have a new contract, but nobody's talking about this every 30 seconds anymore. But on the field, this was a great offense. And going into the upcoming season, you know, I like Hollywood a lot to start this year. This is a player that knows and understands the offense. All reports out of Arizona is that it's been just a smooth acclimation. And he's going to be the most valuable pass-catching weapon in this offense until DeAndre Hopkins returns and maybe beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. With Christian Kirk and DeAndre Hopkins out of the lineup, I mean, when DeAndre Hopkins went down last year, it coincided when Kyler himself went down, but then Kyler got back without Hopkins and was not the same without him. The entire
Cardinals' offensive system was not the same without him. So I think the trade for Hollywood Brown was exceptionally important for the Cardinals to even have a chance. Zach Ertz became basically the like number one target in this offense, and when Zach Ertz is your main target, it's not going to go well. So right. Having Hollywood Brown there for the beginning of the year, I think he's a good draft pick. You've got an explosive, big play guy who was so good on deep targets. He can get open because he's got that electric speed. And Kyler's deep target accuracy has gotten better every single year. He's among the best in the league. He, you know, it's really a match made in heaven, or you could say a match made in college, where they were college teammates and, you know, lit college football on fire. So I do think that they are going to get off to a good start, those two together, and Zach Ertz, which really, for us drafters, for us home leagues, that's really all that matters. Like, if I knew that someone was going to get off to a great six-week start and then trail off, I am always fine drafting that player.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a, you know, they traded a first-round pick for Hollywood. It's not going to be a, all right, well, DeAndre's back, take a seat. It's just going to be, you know, we had plenty of games last year where Christian Kirk was relevant alongside DeAndre Hopkins and things like that. So, yeah, maybe the numbers aren't as prolific. Maybe they stay that way. We don't really know. I mean, Hopkins is getting older. It wasn't, you know, his fantasy value was built on touchdowns last year versus the massive volume we saw in his first year in Arizona. So it's very interesting. What else is interesting is the way this team had to, maybe because of injury, transition into two tight end sets over the back half of the year. And then, you know, you might roll your eyes and say, well, that's not a big deal. Then they paid Zach Ertz again. And then they drafted Trey McBride, the most highly regarded pass-catching tight end in the draft. So you might see a lot more of that, despite the, you know, Hopkins is still out, and right. You might see two tight ends on the field. And, you know, I don't know if any of us would, you know, we're not going to be streaming Trey McBride.
No.
But in a dynasty league, you know, he is a very good player.
Yeah, McBride is very interesting for dynasty. Zach Ertz, reluctantly, is very interesting for redraft. That hot start that Jason was talking about, I mean, in 12 games, Zach Ertz saw essentially 20% of the targets last year for Arizona, and he's going to see a lot of targets over those first 6 weeks. Can he get in the end zone? TBD, but Zach Ertz could be pulling in 5 receptions a game while DeAndre Hopkins is out, and that's then get that late, you know, in the back of the eighth round, in the early ninth round, and then go from there. Like, a month in, then try and readdress the tight end position. But I think that he's just grossly undervalued right now in the draft.
Yeah, and gross is the right word.
Yes, not that he's really undervalued. It's gross that I'm saying he's undervalued.
Yeah. Right.
Rushing production for Kyler went down last year. 8.3 rush attempts per game back in 2020. Last year it was down to 6.3. Hard not to attribute that total in part to the ankle injury and the return after the ankle injury in week 11. He was the fourth best quarterback in points per game. That's the headline for Kyler, and he was great the year before with Josh Allen.
It's hard to remember how good Kyler was over the first 7 games before he got hurt in week 8. In that time, I mean, he was throwing nearly 2.5 touchdowns a game. He was rushing for half. So, I mean, on average, Kyler was scoring 3 touchdowns a game while throwing for 280 yards.
5 of those 7 games, he was a top 10 quarterback.
Yes.
2 of those games, he was the top 1 quarterback. He was the quarterback.
He was in the top 1?
He was in the top 1 of all quarterbacks for fantasy football. In fact,
it's a league company.
The first 2 weeks of the season, he was 100% of the quarterback 1s.
Very. That's a good stat.
Yeah.
It's pretty,
pretty wild.
When they're fully healthy, it's DeAndre Hopkins, it's Hollywood Brown, and then you do have A.J. Green back. You've got Rondale Moore.
Well, I don't want
you
to have talk Zach about Ertz. Green. I no, want to talk about Rondale, though.
Yeah, Rondale. Go ahead.
Like, Rondale, I don't know if it's being picked up nationally, but there's a lot of, you know, maybe it's just coach speak, but there is still a lot of chatter coming from Cliff Kingsbury about Rondale having a very expanded role in this offense, which, to be fair to Rondale, he doesn't have to do much more for it to be a very expanded role. But a second round pick a year ago, athletics just off the chart to start the year, wasn't getting on the field a ton, but his targets per route run, meaning when he was on the field, Kyler was very interested in throwing him the ball. So, and he projects to be a starter with this team, especially if they're running three wide. So he's going extremely late in fantasy drafts, and I think that Rondale is one of those players to me that when it's late and you're just throwing some darts on someone that could have a very surprising season, he fits the mold to me of great quarterback, high-powered offense, huge opportunity. But you'll know in the first 2 weeks.
And you can dump him if it doesn't
Rondale
work.
Is his role actually increased, or is it just more of the same and you can move on from him?
He was on an 80-target pace last year before the injury. Over under 100 targets for Rondale Moore this year in Arizona.
I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I would take the under, but there's a chance.
Yeah, he's electric.
I think he'll get to 100. They just might all be behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think the last wide receiver here to discuss where people need to know, what do I do with DeAndre Hopkins in my drafts? There's giant question marks around that. Thankfully, this isn't one of those questionable injuries. His injury, which he did have, he's good to go. He's healthy for training camp. This is a six-week suspension for popping positive on PEDs. So you know you're going to not have him for the first 6 months, but you know he's been a...
6 weeks.
For six weeks. But he's been a fantasy superstar whenever he's been on the field. That being said, when you bring in Hollywood and start getting this offense going with Hollywood, with Zach Ertz, we don't know for sure that... when Hopkins comes back, he would be this top six type of wide receiver. Could he be? Absolutely. We've seen it. But could he be a wide receiver 15 type? Absolutely. And if that's the case, waiting 6 weeks for a guy that could come back and be a wide receiver 15 is a massive mistake, in my opinion, especially where he's going. He's going in the back of the sixth. Personally, this is just my take. Here's wide receivers going after him that I would much rather have to start the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Cooks, Darnell Mooney, Juju Smith-Schuster, Devonta Smith, like those.
Give me
are...
some eighth round wide receivers, just so I understand the context.
Cause, sure,
because I think it's about 6 weeks is a little more than 40% of your fantasy season, depending on what your format is. But
eighth round wide receivers, we've got Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, and Gabriel Davis, and Brandon Ayuk. I think I would take all of those.
No, I'd take Hopkins over all those guys.
I would take all those guys except for Ayuk over Hopkins.
You would take all those.
I would take Elijah Moore over Hopkins.
I would take Elijah, Gabriel Davis, and Bateman for sure over Hop.
Okay, Hopkins was very good to start the year.
It's just a matter of receiving yards per game since his rookie year. And the route bush, man, the route tree was disintegrated into a lonely desert plant of death.
I guess I just have a different opinion. I'm not actively seeking DeAndre Hopkins, but he was the number five wide receiver the last time he played a full season in Arizona. Last year was injury marred. You will go into the week seven, or I don't know if they have a bye week seven, but you'll go into their seventh game, and DeAndre Hopkins will be the number one focal point of the offensive game plan. That's what's going to happen in Arizona. So whatever that means to you, if it's worth waiting, if it's not worth waiting, that's going to be the equation. He's paid a huge amount of money and heralded as one of the top actual pass catchers in football. So if I'm getting the wide receiver 14, that's amazing.
Size of your bench matters. For if you have a bench that's shallow, four or five, Hopkins is a very difficult decision.
To me, there's just a point where it's worth holding that. And the way I would rationalize it in my head is you rotate through waiver wire guys that are in and out on your roster every week, including wide receivers you're taking blind shots on, right? I mean, we're going to spend two roster spots a week moving players in and out for most rosters. And you know what he'll be when he gets back. So that will be the game you have to play. It might not be worth it. Sixth round, all the names that you said in the sixth round, I'd rather have over DeAndre Hopkins. No question about it. So maybe in your league, that's a ninth round decision for you. Maybe it's a 10th round decision for you. Or in Jason's case, maybe never.
Yeah, I think the 10th round, I would hop in. Let's talk James Conner, shall we? Ignore my awesome pun. James Conner was great last year. Obviously, he overperformed in the touchdown category. You wouldn't expect him to get as many touchdowns. However,
which was 18.
Yes. You do know that he is the premier goal line back for a team that likes to run it inside the five, where you can't stack the box because Kyler will go whoop and go out to the outside. So you've got to spy him. James Conner's going to score a ton of touchdowns.
Yes.
It will be fewer than last year and still be very, very good for fantasy. Plus, he can catch the ball. Chase Edmonds is gone. And the running back amalgamation that they've brought in behind him does not seem like
Darrell Williams.
Darrell Williams, Keontae Ingram,
and Eno.
Eno Benjamin from a couple years ago. It doesn't seem like there is a Chase Edmonds replacement. I think it's going to be a couple guys coming in and spelling James Conner.
What is, Kyle, if you can look up, I want to know what the over-under is on total touchdowns for James Conner. Do they have that number?
I can look it up.
I feel like he's locked for double digit.
Yes.
I mean, he
I'll take 10-plus rushing touchdowns.
He had five games last year, five, with more than one touchdown. That's kind of wild.
And if you go back, he is built for touchdowns. You go back to Kenyon Drake, who wasn't in this system. He was still getting all those same opportunities that James Conner was getting. Wasn't quite as effective with him, and the center position wasn't quite as good then.
Yeah, so we're not expecting 18 touchdowns, but we know that he's a featured back on an offense that was, you know, in the top half of the league. Fair?
Yeah, and yep. He's a good value right now. He's not being drafted as like a first round or top of the second round running
first
back.
First round would be scary.
Yeah, Connor. And I've seen the criticism. They think it's bias, hometown bias. But you don't understand how much we hate the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. I'm not drafting Hop.
So the line is 9.5. See, that's what I was wondering. Okay. Like, I think he's a lock for double-digit touchdowns.
If
injury.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's betting unders this time of year is usually the smart play just because if you get injured,
yep.
You hit your under.
Yeah. Yeah, that would really hurt. You get to about 9 halfway through the year and you lose Connor for the rest of the season. The 49ers, 10-7 last year. 7-2 to finish the season. 5-5-1 score games. The preseason win total was 10.5. They were under that. The projected Vegas win total right now is 10 for San Francisco?
Yes.
Wow.
I know, it is.
Wow.
When you think about the Cardinals with, you know, an MVP candidate in Kyler Murray last year who's gotten better at 8.5, to have a Trey Lance-led 49ers out here with a projected win total of 10 seems
I think you get an extra win and a half if you have Kyle Shanahan as your coach.
I agree.
So I think that's what it comes down to, confidence. I mean, they were 31st in pace of play last year, 13th in points per game under Jimmy Garoppolo, 7th in total yards.
And you should lose a game and a half for having Cliff. So that makes sense.
Okay, it's one direction or the other.
I also agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, to be 7th in total yards and have an offense that was in the top half in points per game and then just kick the quarterback out the door and say, hey, we're moving on, you know, you have a system in place, right? You have something that you have confidence in with Kyle Shanahan, the weapons around him, Elijah Mitchell, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. They are an efficient offense. That's what they've been under Kyle Shanahan. It's impressive.
Elijah Mitchell's going to dominate. That's where
I'm
at right now.
Can we get that chopped up and saved?
I'm starting to be on that side, too.
No, I think, look, it's all lined up.
I mean, the reality.
I remember when Raheem Mostert was going to dominate.
Going back, historically, every year the 49ers have a new running back. It happened last year, and it was a surprise in Elijah Mitchell. So I think there's a lot of fear that it won't be Elijah Mitchell. There's not a lot of draft capital. They are fine saying, nah, let's go with the next guy. Kyle Shanahan don't care. He will do whatever he thinks is best for an individual game plan, yada, yada. But Elijah Mitchell was a revelation. He fit the system perfect. He explodes through the hole, and he's younger. You know, he was like the new Mostert. He had the most elite usage of any Shanahan running back in San Francisco from week 10 and through the playoffs, 20-plus opportunities in 7 straight games. Now, he couldn't handle that workload and got injured, and so there is that fear. I don't think Elijah Mitchell's going to play 17 games, but I don't think most running backs are going to play 17 games. He's going at the 5-6 turn right now. For a guy that can – what are you going to do if you bring in a mobile quarterback – right, this isn't a pass-catching running back already in Elijah Mitchell. This is a guy who's just bursting off big chunk plays. You bring in a mobile, essentially rookie quarterback this year who doesn't have the experience, and you are a great running team. They're going to run the ball nonstop. They're going to jam it down your throats, and Elijah Mitchell's first guy up.
Yeah, I mean, Lance is going to take away touchdown opportunities. That's absolutely going to happen. And then the other issue was the shoulder, ribs, concussion, finger, knee, which was the five injuries he suffered last year, which they did invest in. They drafted a running back.
They did.
Which was Davis Price, right?
Yes, Ty Davis Price. The thing to me when looking at the 49ers, this year's running back room, looking at the history of the running backs that have had success for Kyle Shanahan under San Francisco, Elijah Mitchell, injuries, absolutely a challenge for the missile. But the guys in the room with Elijah Mitchell, I know that Shanahan, they're the people that keep bringing these other running backs in, but they don't like that archetype of, like, Ty Davis Price is not fast. Trey Sermon is not fast.
Why'd they draft them?
I don't know.
See, this is the problem with that premise, is that if we were here last year and we were talking about the running backs in the room with Raheem Mostert, not one of us would have talked about Elijah Mitchell. That's the problem I have, is that somebody else earns the trust in training camp. You don't know behind the scenes, were they happy with Mitchell's recovery from injury? Were they unhappy with it?
Fair.
So I'm just coloring in the other side of the argument. I actually agree with you guys. Like, right now, like, I would go Elijah Mitchell, I think, over Cam Akers, and they're going at the same place. I was going to ask you guys that. Which of those two guys do you have more confidence in? Because that's about where they're both going.
That's a very difficult question.
Same division, question marks on both teams.
I think I go Akers.
I think by the time that drafts roll around, and I've seen this on Underdog right now, I think Elijah will be going behind Akers, and I'll take the value.
Elijah Mitchell. Debo. Debo was dominant last year.
Yep.
You can't tackle him. He plays two positions if you need him to.
He did it the second half of last year.
And what is that? Only three of his 16 touchdowns came within 10 yards?
Mm-hmm. They're all deep, long touchdowns.
Oh, those are so delightful for fantasy.
They're delightful for fantasy, but they are hard to repeat. It's not like James Conner, who's assured of getting 15.
No, they're not 15. That hard for Debo.
Sure, I mean,
it's like Tyreek.
Oh, he's a man. I mean, thank you.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would doubt. Like, what was his total touchdowns last year? Do we have that? 6 and 8?
16?
16 total. Yeah. So, yeah.
What, did he throw a couple or something?
Including the playoffs.
I say six. We don't include the playoffs.
Yeah,
Kyle.
Come on.
Kyle? We don't include the playoffs.
It's a fantasy football show.
What about, yeah, the year before, too?
Why is Kyle here?
Good grief.
Go home.
6 and 8. 14.
Good math.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. That is more than what you would expect. I know he was one of the players that, you know, had a very, very high touchdown rate over expectation. So he outperformed, but some of these great players, they year after year outperform, not to the degree Debo did this year. And there is the giant question mark here of change at quarterback.
You should be more, in my opinion, we should be more confident of Debo than we are as a fantasy community.
Okay.
Because he's a great player with a great head coach. You know, you make a transition at quarterback that has you kind of going, what's going to happen? Well, here's what's going to happen. They're going to go into the game, and then they're going to get Debo the ball a bunch of times, and they don't care. Like, he's at least capable of getting it in ways that a lot of other wide receivers aren't capable of getting the ball. He can be in the screen game. He can be in the – you can pitch him the ball out of the backfield. You're not going to see them run this offense on the back of Brandon Ayuk. It's going to be on the back of Debo. It's going to be on the back of Kittle. And I think we should have more confidence than we do.
I would agree with all of your premise in the sense that Kyle Shanahan is going to form game plans. And it's funny, the way that he designs plays to get a specific play to a specific player, and that is Debo or Kittle. It's not Ayuk. Ayuk is the second read, and so Debo will get enough work, enough targets to be fantasy relevant, and he's super hard to tackle. Right now he's not being drafted as you know, a
certainly
first rounder.
Certainly not the number two.
You can get him at the 2-3 turn sometimes. So I'm fine taking Debo there. I still personally worry about the injury history. I know he played last year and was great, but, you know, he does have a long track record of breaking down. So I have that fear, and I don't know if that's – it's not fair.
If you – I mean, yeah. It's,
I would say that's not fair.
Yeah, I would say it's not fair.
I said it first, though, so – I get full credit.
Look, Elijah Mitchell, who you like a lot, got hurt five separate times last year.
Mm. Nice counter argument.
And about building game plans around George Kittle, unfortunately, you can't do that when he's on the bench. And he was hurt again and still banged up. So, yeah, it's tough. And then with the Trey Lance, I mean, it seems like that the whole arm strength thing was just baloney. At least the way that his teammates are talking about it, or not the arm strength, arm fatigue,
yeah,
worries. I think people maybe myself included, they're searching for the negative on Trey Lance because it's more entertaining. It's more interesting as a storyline when a team fails with the number three pick in the draft. Like that's
sure.
I that's just kind of that, like, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Kyle Shanahan screwed something up. I can't believe it.
You know, for us, as we are Cardinal fans, so when the 49ers fail, it does feel good. But I have full confidence that Trey Lance is going to be the starter. I'm very confident that he is going to be fantastic for fantasy football, not just based on the legs. Like he has a rocket ship of an arm, and he will throw the ball down the field like just an absolute elite average depth of target in the small amount that we've seen him, which small sample. And then like Warren Sharp had like a really interesting write-up. Warren Sharp has his huge book out right now, and he was highlighting how quarterbacks under Kyle Shanahan, they're always top 10 in expected completion rate because Kyle Shanahan is just such a master at scheming good, easy completions, recognizing how important that is, and that just giving you even more confidence. Like maybe Trey Lance is going to be a raw prospect right now because he's barely played any football. He's going to be the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL in his second year in the NFL. But the system is set up for him to succeed so well and be a potential fantasy monster.
Yeah, you brought it up on our last show, Andy, of the question of should 100% of the time you be taking Trey Lance, even if you already have another quarterback. His ceiling is enormously yes. high. And I love getting Trey Lance as
cathedral levels.
Oh yeah, you're talking 45 feet in the main area.
Like, in the main area?
Yes. The big room, you know, the cathedral big room that they call it. The main area,
you know, like in the cathedral area,
up where Quasimodo's at.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to see him. You put him up in the 45-foot rafters.
No, that's the Le'Veon Bell Tower. Man,
the main room
is George Kittle. Real last closing the book on San Francisco is George Kittle's average draft position, which is the late third as the fourth tight end off the board. Is that palatable for you this year because of the difference he can make? Or are you kind of you don't want to be the guy that lost the injury gamble at tight end in the third round?
I am. George Kittle is probably the tight end I have the most of the big names. I'm not really willing to go first round on Travis Kelce, and most of the time there's players I prefer over Mark Andrews in the second. In the leagues that I've been in, Kyle Pitts is the third being drafted, and then it goes Waller, and then Kittle sometimes is dropping to the fourth, the fifth. I've seen Kyle, you got him the other day in the sixth or seventh round. It was ridiculous. Kittle was the tight end four last year, and when he puts up big games, they're monstrous. They are game changing. They win the week for you. I think if Kittle slips in a draft, he's going to end up on my roster. It's going to be Kittle or a late tight end for me this year.
Yeah, the late third to me is that's very acceptable and risky, absolutely risky. So what kind of
where's
fantasy
Waller
player
then?
Are you?
Just ahead of him
in sleeper, he's going behind him.
Yeah, give me Waller.
Really?
Yeah, I'm getting very excited about Darren Waller.
Nice. Let's do it, Andy. You want to bet that one?
Waller versus Kittle?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, that's a fun bet.
Just need to find the button.
Water bet.
Yeah.
I feel like the median score would favor the odds to Waller, but the upside is far more on George Kittle's side to me.
Far more.
Far more.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Kittle's the big play guy. Waller is was a PPR machine, and now you got Davante Adams soaking up, what, 25%+?
Okay. All right.
Not that I'm against Waller.
No, but. I think we underestimate the value of a good play caller in Las Vegas and putting him in a good position to succeed, because I don't know if you'd feel the same way about George Kittle if Mr. John Gruden was the head coach.
Yeah, maybe. We'll never know.
No, thank goodness. The Seahawks, let's talk about them. 7-10 last year. The Russell Wilson era is over. The 10.4 wins per year is probably over as well. And, you know, Pete Carroll before Russ was 7-9.
I just saw their win total, their 2021 preseason.
That was last year.
Oh,
yeah,
thank
they
goodness.
Were 9 last year with Russ.
Oh, my gosh. I saw the
Where
wrong
do you,
number.
Okay, don't look then. Where do you think they are this year?
I feel like they should be 6.5.
Okay, Mike?
6.
No, lower than both of those.
Thank goodness. Okay. I saw 9 in my – I was like, I was about to – run to this
run
draft
to the
book. Be like, I gotta bet this like crazy.
5.5. Okay. Started at 6, bet down to 5.5. You know, looking at last year's offensive metrics for Seattle feels a little stupid, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Russ isn't there.
But the one thing that you can look at, though, is with Russ, they still wanted to run the ball.
Yeah, 31st in pass attempts.
So now... This is you get your chance, Pete Carroll, to do what you've always wanted and just say the quarterback is not winning this game, and you're right, he's not going to.
Look, the highest odds for Drew Lock to have success would be a team where he is 32nd in pass attempts.
It's fair.
Yeah, I mean this is not looking good right now. I didn't know how long we'd have to talk about them.
Who do you have in as the starter, Locke or Geno?
I think they'll just skip it.
Just pass.
I have Drew Locke set up that way,
okay.
Right now.
I think it'll be Geno when it comes down to it.
Yeah, see, I have the, I think it'll be close, but I think Locke will end up getting the opportunity because we've seen Geno for more snaps in the NFL than we've seen Drew Locke. But I don't know. It could be Jimmy Garoppolo. And there's rumors of this is yeah. This is that same situation where they're talking about Drew Lock the way the Panthers were talking about Darnold this offseason. That's how they're talking about him, which was like, Darnold's the guy. He's going to be the guy. He's still got a potential. And just kidding, we traded for Baker, which, by the way, that's an open competition. Did you know that?
Yeah, we've heard.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's going to be, man, I wonder who's going to win.
So when Drew Lock is being talked about like this in a way that is, I would say, removed from facts. Then maybe Jimmy Garoppolo arrives, and maybe look, if Jimmy Garoppolo,
this team is so much better.
If
Jimmy Garoppolo
arrives,
there.
I care about DK Metcalf in a new way. I care about Tyler Lockett, and I really look, Noah Fant, I still think can be interesting this season. You get to these situations where they look so, and Houston's an example of it last year. Jacksonville. There are situations where you don't even want to gaze in the direction of the offense. It's like offensive. Like, Jason, you wear glasses, you'd remove them if you were going to look towards Seattle's offense. So
I don't want to see that.
So it's obfuscated. But they get to play the same, you know, four quarters of football every week, and their offense takes the field. And I think Noah Fant is going to be a part of the offense and a relevant part of the offense. And so... I am of the opinion that if you have to pick up somebody in the last round of your draft and you're in the Gerald Everett category, the Cole Kmet category, Noah Fant belongs in that same group because he's actually gone out and had pretty relevant weeks.
He's had decent weeks. He obviously has the athleticism to get it done. This is one, though, where when you're talking about he's behind DK Metcalf, behind Tyler Lockett as the third option in an offense led by Geno or Locke, assuming that it's not Garoppolo or a different quarterback, I just can't get myself to pull the trigger on him. Will he finish as, you know, the tight end 10? Sure, but usually that's still irrelevant. I would rather take a tight end as a piece of a better offense and hope for more touchdowns, because I don't think you see, you know, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns here for Noah Fant, just because that means Drew Lock's throwing touchdowns, or Geno Smith is, and that's probably not happening.
They do have, if it's Drew Lock, they do have a connection. And last year he was 90 targets in that system with other weapons on the outside, 670 yards. So it's not going to be pretty. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty.
Moving forward, it's Drew Lock or it's Geno. How exactly are you guys valuing DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, you know, fantasy studs for multiple years, both extremely talented in their archetype of wide receiver?
Give me Lockett at his average draft position.
Okay, so Lockett going right now in the eighth as the wide receiver 39. DK Metcalf, wide receiver 15, but he's an absolute monster of a man.
Yeah, I would much rather have DK Metcalf over Lockett in general as the draft position dictates. But as the wide receiver 15, I just have a hard time seeing that happen. Right now I've got him as my wide receiver 24, and I love betting on a guy who's got the physical talents and the gifts where, you know, he could break some tackles and take a bad pass 80 yards for a touchdown. So I like DK Metcalf when he's slipping to that value in leagues that don't want him. But in general, I don't really want a piece of this passing game. If I want a Seahawk, it's probably going to be Rashad Penny.
Tyler Lockett at wide receiver 39, though.
I mean, I've got him.
I mean, this is the Brandon Cooks problem that people had last year. This is what I'm talking about, not looking at that offense.
It makes sense. I think that his targets will probably be up from where he's being drafted right now. But, like, when I stat him out, you know, Tyler Lockett is my wide receiver. 55! So
this is a player that was 15th, 14th, 9th, and 13th.
You know how much I love Tyler Lockett. I've been a Tyler Lockett stan.
That's too low.
It very well might be, but I mean, we've seen great wide receivers. You know, we bring up Larry Fitzgerald all the time. When he goes from a bad wide receiver who's like the wide receiver 46, Larry's great. But if you don't have a guy that can get you the ball, and if he's not the number one in the offense, I just don't see a world where Tyler Lockett is anything other than a few big plays on the season that you can't predict, and you're never going to know where to start him in your home leagues. That's
Mike?
Where I'm at.
I think I'm out, unfortunately.
Rashad Penny.
I guess this is worth talking about. Ken Walker, we're all very excited for the rookie. Drafted in the second round out of Michigan. Tremendous pure runner. No pass catching in his production profile, which sucks. Watching him catch passes, it doesn't seem like he is a Jordan Howard, but he just wasn't used like that. But he is being drafted multiple rounds ahead of Rashad Penny, who's like, Rashad Penny's going in the ninth round. Rashad Penny is being drafted as barely a running back 3, despite at the end of the year, like, carrying people to fantasy championships, should be the starter. Like, they brought him back on the 1 year prove it deal. Normally in these situations, I'm very drawn to the rookie because I want the youth, I want the upside. But in this situation, I think it's absolutely wild that Rashad Penny is being overlooked as who I view as the starter. So where do you guys fall between Walker versus Penny?
Yeah, I think Rashad Penny is the starter for this team. I believe he's a very good running back. He has not been able to stay healthy. When he's been given the opportunity, he is phenomenal. If he gets double-digit carries, he's been good for fantasy. Obviously, that's been with Russell Wilson. I don't expect him as many touchdown opportunities, but he can have big chunk plays. He can have breakaway runs, and I think he is going to get the work over Ken Walker this year, and he's going 3 rounds behind him. So I'm in on the value that Rashad Penny represents. I'm not sitting here saying I think he's going to be a top 12 running back, but I definitely think he's going to outperform his running back 36 draft position right now.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
People have been asking for it. So
for the roar?
Yeah, I don't know.
I got it back there.
Who are these people?
There's been two of them at least.
Like where? Your Twitter?
They're saying we want to hear Jason kind of gargly.
Yeah.
And gargle
I mean,
spin.
I like it when the mock draft drop. Well, but that weird,
less is more with that sound.
That seemed inappropriate.
Well, we'll see what the people say.
Oh,
leave your comment.
Oh, no.
Leave your comment below. All right. More or less Jason gargly dragon roars.
Best Ball Breakdown brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. We're giving tips, insights, observations for playing best ball. Mike, you've got something to share.
Sure. So today's tip, it's kind of a short and sweet one, and it's there are so many things to be thinking of when you are in a best ball draft of, you know, the roster construction, putting together, when do I get my stack in, all of these tips we have been giving. And the emphasis is on wide receivers. You're playing in a three wide receiver and a flex league. But this is just a reminder, at a certain point, do not forget about these running backs who are being drafted a little bit later. So per Hayden Winks, and look, of Underdog Fantasy, so I mean the guy knows what he's talking about for fantasy football, one, and with Underdog Fantasy, in general, about 50% of flex spots should be filled by running backs, 45% should be filled by wide receivers. So, like, there is a place for these running backs who are getting undervalued compared to the wide receivers who are going in that position. So, for example, you know, the running back 30 since 2015, the running back 30 on average has scored the same as the wide receiver 40. So, when you're getting into those wide receiver 45, but the running back 30 is still on the board, don't be afraid to get the running back in there just because you feel like, I got to load up on these wide receivers. Guys like Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, Chase Edmonds, who is, we've highlighted him recently on the show of, he feels like an absolute screaming value.
I hate that you're bringing these names. Those are the
Jason,
three.
Jason, this is our job.
I know it's our job, but I'd like to win, too. So those are the names I'm always grabbing at value.
You have plenty of teams with these guys, but Chase Edmonds is the running back 35. You know,
we don't have to release the podcast anymore.
Yeah, let's cut this part out.
But you know, Melvin Gordon is the running back 36. Gordon's not going to be a top 12 guy, but he's going to overperform that running back 36. And just remember that while you want to load up on the wide receivers, there does come a balance and a tipping point where these leftover running backs are still going to be good enough and outscoring these wide receiver 45 and getting into your flex play.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
That's going to do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Footballers. We appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. Thank you for subscribing. Apple Podcasts. You can click that follow button on Spotify, wherever you're listening. Maybe you're on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. We got some live stuff coming up over the next couple months.
A lot more gargle roars in store.
Hopefully not.
We'll ask the platforms to add filters for that specifically. It's like the profanity filter and then your roars. In case they want to opt out. Just in case.
Just in case.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. Back with the Saturday show.
See you then. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.